disease must avoid any and all exposure to light. And the recommendations that came as a result of having this disease were wear sunglasses inside when watching TV or your computer monitor or near bright windows. Turn down the brightness on your computer monitor. Cover all windows. Stay indoors during the daytime. Do all possible outside tasks and errands after dark. Wear dark sunglasses and dark clothing when you must go out during the daytime. Do not linger outside, even in the shade. Avoid long trips in the car when you must drive at night unless you are comfortable wearing sunglasses after dark to protect against oncoming headlights. Kind of a strange disease, isn't it? The Apostle John diagnosed a similar spiritual disease a long time ago. The man who avoids the light. That wasn't, by the way, coordinated with that. It just happened right there. Many of us as Christians are not experiencing the level of fellowship that we really desire and that God intended. And the solution is not simply scheduling more church eating meals together. If our fellowship is based on our age and our marital status and the age of our children or whether or not we live in the same neighborhood or our entertainment interests or areas of employment, then that's no different than the world's fellowship. The Bible addresses every aspect of fellowship and it provides some practical answers. And one of the things that I find really interesting in studying the Bible is that sometimes there's a passage of Scripture that you may have studied your entire life, and yet someone shines a different light or puts a different lens over it so that we can see it, and maybe for the first time it really comes to have a deep meaning and something real in our lives. And so I hope that that's what will be accomplished in the next 2 to 3 weeks as we're looking at the passage in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, and I would encourage you to be turning there. And in Jesus' words, let us have ears to hear. The passage that was read as our scripture reading this morning is a familiar passage. We began in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. This is the message that we've heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. The setting for John's epistle here has to do with the fellowship that this early church did and did not have. In verse 3, he gives his purpose for writing, that you may have fellowship with us and our fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 4, the result is that will make your joy complete. This epistle is about fellowship. And our attitude and our understanding of fellowship is likely somewhat more limited than God intended for it to be. Fellowship with God and other Christians and how they're interrelated. And I realize that I desperately want to know how to maintain an intimate, powerful, meaningful, fruitful fellowship with God in my own life. It is this fellowship which makes the Christian life vital, which makes it compelling, which makes it effective, which makes it worth living. And without it, without that fellowship as Christians in our lives are lonely and empty and desperate. You can have 500 Facebook friends and not have one single meaningful relationship. The number one principle which we must understand and on which John bases this epistle in order for us to have this fellowship with God and with one another is in verse 5. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. I would suggest to you that you could write that little phrase down and put it in your pocket and carry it for a year. decision to make in your life or every time something occurs in your life that requires a response from you, that you read it enough that it becomes automatic that you quote that to yourself before you proceed. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And I would suggest to you that you would spend the year very well, and you would be much closer to God at the end of that year. In the Old Testament, God repeatedly said, "Be ye holy because I'm holy." And that's a restatement of this. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. That tells you about God's relationship to righteousness and God's relationship to sin. And until you know both of these things as an absolute, then you'll never have a vital, meaningful relationship with God. And consequently, you'll never enjoy the level of fellowship with other Christians that God intended. And all the fellowship that you have, both with God and with your fellow man, will be superficial and shallow. It'll be based on the same things that the world's fellowship is based on. The beginning, as we talk about how we begin this fellowship with God and with one another, we begin with a faith response to the invitation of His words. You come to know God, first of all, by coming to Him. He has told you about Himself through nature. And He said that was designed to cause men to seek after Him and find Him, to feel after Him. That we look at nature and we know, instinctively we know, somewhere there is this supreme being. And we start a search for Him. And He says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And listen to this. "Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." When you drink of Him, John 7, 37 and 38. And this establishes a relationship and opens a door for you to experience all that God has to offer. That makes possible fellowship with God. John chapter 7, drinking and that living water from Him will begin to flow from you. And we need to get that picture of ourselves. As we drink of the living water, then He says that water will flow out from you. It will become a part and parcel of your own personality and the effect that you have on those around you. This is the actual experiencing of His power and His wisdom and His love in our lives at work within us. It's allowing Christ to come live in you and operate through you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is that level of relationship that will maintain you for the rest of your life so that you don't constantly have to have superficial encouragement all the time to remain faithful to the Lord. It will be within you. It will grow within you as water will spring from you. John calls this kind of life walking in the light. And it's the secret of true fellowship. And this fellowship requires us to leave darkness completely in every area of our lives. And it sounds easy enough, doesn't it? But in the practice, it's not that easy because we live in a world of darkness. And there is a part of our nature, our humanness, our flesh, that the things of this world appeals to it. And it's very difficult to get those things out of our lives. And so I'm going to suggest to you, I think, at least for me, a new way to look at this section of Scripture is going to be three practices which hinder or block us from true, real fellowship with God and consequently with our brothers and sisters. There are three practices or conditions, if you will, that can cut us off from fellowship, and I believe there are only three, and He's going to tell what those three are. And every difficulty that we have in our relationship with God and every difficulty that we have in our relationship with one another is going to be covered, at least in principle, in one of those three that we're going to be looking at. Every failure in fellowship is right here in this first chapter of John's first epistle. And if you're having difficulty experiencing all that's promised in the Scriptures in your relationship to God and in your relationship to others, your brothers and sisters, then that reason is going to be revealed right here. Let me start it by using this illustration. I think we are generally more sensitive to what we would call fellowship issues horizontally with other people than we are vertically with God. We really are sensitive to our relationship to those around us. And if that relationship is not good, then we react to that, and we perceive that rather quickly. But our relationship to God very well may not be in good condition, but we're not so perceptive about that. But we're quick to perceive, and so these horizontal relationships. And so John is going to tie these two together so that we'll learn to focus on the proper one. He's going to teach us that if the vertical relationship is wrong, then the horizontal one will be wrong. And you can correct people relationships only by correcting God relationships. He'll say it lots of different ways in this throughout this epistle. One of the ways he'll say, if you claim to love God and yet you hate your brother, what? Relationship with your brother, and you can know something about your relationship to God because they're interconnected. And when we see them that way, he's given us, as it were, a light, a green light, a red light, to help us focus on the things that really need to be focused on. We can see how we shut ourselves off from fellowship with God and subsequently with others in these three practices. And he's going to preface each one of them with the phrase, if we claim. Now, he's going to use that more than three times in this epistle, but he's going to use it just like staccato here, just if we claim, if we claim, if we claim. And each one of those is going to open a completely different door, even though they may sound similar, and we're going to be looking at that in this lesson and a couple of subsequent lessons. How is it that we walk in darkness? And by the way, if we can't make this practical, then it is of no value to us. It's really not of any real value if you can quote the whole Bible and you can't apply it to your life. And so the real challenge to us as we study our Bibles and read our Scripture is to stop and make application in our own lives of what's being said here. The answer to how we walk in darkness is self-evident. We stay out of the light. Now, where do we, in John's terminology as he uses the term light, where in this world would we find such light? And wherever we find that light, if that's not the dearest things in this world to us, and if that's not where we habitually live, then we're not living and walking in the light. Wherever that light is found, and you stop and ask yourself, where in this dark world do we find this light that he's talking about? Well, first of all, we find it in his word, don't we? And so I'm going to go back there one more time, folks. If we're not willing to spend time in God's word, reading and studying God's word, then we're avoiding the light. Because that's the number one source and place where we find God's light in this world. Is it not? And if we're not reading it for ourselves, and if we're not basking in that light, then where are we? Do you use God's word in the same way that you use a lamp and a light? We have another place that we find the light is in personal relationship with other Christians. And our association with them. Is that not the purpose of him using the term light and the analogy of this as we drink this living water, that water flows out from us? Is that not other Christians? and our proximity and our relationship to them, is that not an encouragement to us? Are you not encouraged to do what's right as you get close to people, that you can look at their life and see that they are making right decisions in their own life, and you can use them as an example? Do you have a regular, intimate relationship with other Christians, or do you isolate yourself? Why do people want not have a desire? Why do Christians not have a desire to be close to other Christians? Well, one reason could be because we've got some closeted sins in our life that we don't want other people to find out about. We've got some habits in our life that we don't want other Christians to see. And so the easiest thing that we can do is spend more time away from them. And another is that we just don't have a lot in common with one another as Christians. And then another place that we find the light is in the collective assembly of God's people in the church. Is there anybody here that doesn't understand that when somebody rarely attends church, or whenever we habitually come in late and leave early, that you have a fellowship problem? Now, there's something you can get your teeth in, isn't it? Something you can use in your life if you choose to. These are channels of light. And if you claim to be a Christian, have fellowship with him, John will say, and you avoid these channels of light, then he says in verse 6, you're living a lie. He'll say you're deceiving yourself. Why do you say that, John? Let's go back to our very fundamental basic premise. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness whatsoever. He wants absolutely nothing to do with the darkness. And not even in those areas that we want to make shadowy between the light and the darkness. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. And so if we say that we're walking with him and yet you're avoiding the light, then you're not walking with him. Because he's always in the light, and he won't come out there in the darkness with you. He's light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if you're walking with him, you have to be where the light is. People who are living a lie don't like the light. You know why? Because light does two things. It shows you where you need to go, and it also exposes you. It shows you where you should walk, and some people don't want to walk in the light. They're more comfortable not being in the light. They've got another path that they want to walk, and the light shows that we're not on the right path. The light reveals some things also about ourselves, and there are some things that we don't want to particularly admit. That we may have some favored little pet sins that we've got tucked in our pocket that we don't want anybody to see. And if someone were to see them, we're kind of embarrassed. Some things that we should repent of. John chapter 3, the same writer will say, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what he has been done through God. If you're living for God, you're not afraid of the light. In fact, it is only in the light that you want to live. And you become afraid of darkness and everything associated with it. In contrast to the devastating, destructive consequences of walking in the darkness, walking in the light has some beautiful, incredible blessings. In that it illuminates our path, in that it causes us to introspect. It causes us to look inside ourselves and reveal what's really inside of me. Do I really want to know about myself and what motivates me and what I love and what I don't love? Do I really want to know that? Do I really want it brought out? Blessing number one, he says, we have fellowship with one another, doesn't he? Verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. We need to realize that the basis of Christian fellowship is not that we both like to golf or hunt or fish, or even that we work together, or that we have children who like to be together, or that we're about the same age or the same social status or the same financial level, or that we even like one another's personality. There are some brothers and sisters with whom I have a very deep fellowship that I don't share any of those above things with. I don't particularly like their personality, and I'm sure they don't particularly like mine. And we're not in the same level. We don't live in the same place. We don't work in the same. And those things that would tend to bring us together are not there. And yet, some of my really close friends, in fact, my children sometimes, when they come to know some of my friends for long periods of time, they say, "Dad, we don't understand why y'all are such close friends." Well, there's only one thing. There's only one reason. And that one reason supersedes all of the others. It overcomes the others. The basis for Christian fellowship is that we're both walking in the light. We're traveling the same path. We have the same desires. We want the same thing, essentially, in our life. One of the beautiful things that I see happen to us is that we come to realize that when we're both walking in the light, that I may not agree with you on many things, and we may be far apart in age and personalities and social and racial and financially and hobbies and family situations and educations, and I could just pick out people in this congregation that they're much younger than I am, and they work in far different realm than I do. And we just don't have very many things in common. And yet, we're close to one another. Because the one thing that we have in common is that the most important thing, the only real important thing in our life, we have in common. That's fellowship. That's what brings true Christian fellowship. And that's how it can be that the Jew and the Gentile and the slave and the free can all be a part of the same family and love one another. Walking in the light is the basis for Christian fellowship. It overcomes everything. It's the first blessing. And there's nothing that even comes close to being a second. And then blessing number two, and listen to this one. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from every sin. That's a blessing of walking in the light. Walking in the light has made life on this earth much more pleasant by giving me brothers and sisters who love me and care about my welfare. And it also secures my eternal future by securing my relationship with Him, because when I'm in the light, I have fellowship with Him. And then I have fellowship with everyone else who's in the light. If there was ever an understatement in the Bible, and I'm not saying that there is any understatement in the Bible, but if there ever was one, I'm saying it would be Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and I will speak personally for myself. It says, "Blessed are they," and if you want to translate the word blessed as happy, then that would be good. It's not a completely satisfactory translation of it. But happier are those whose offenses have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, whose sin the Lord will never count against him. And every time I read that, I stop and say, amen, amen, amen. Unbelievable verse. Unbelievable blessing. I've tried many times in my life. I can't claim that I've always tried to be good, but I have tried to be good. And I realize that I can't be good. Not good in the way that's going to get me to heaven. I just can't. I can't be that good. And so when I read, "Blessed is man whose sins have been forgiven, and whose sins the Lord will never count against him," I realize I don't have anything else in my life that compares to that. That's it. That's the greatest blessing that I can ever possibly imagine in my life, because it secures me now. And it secures me for all eternity. And it's contingent upon me walking in the light. Who is this guy? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will never count his sin. Who is that guy? It's John's guy right here. This Christian who's walking in the light. And he has fellowship with God. And he has fellowship with his brothers and sisters. You see, this epistle is all about fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. And God is taking care of both of those needs for us. He's provided channels of light to show us where to walk. He also, with those channels of light, gives us somebody to walk with. Because it's hard to walk alone, isn't it, in this world? And we need some encouragement. And he's provided these channels of light to teach us that there are some things about ourselves that we need to change. Because even though I'm in the light, I'm only light because he's made me that way. And because he has counted me as righteous, then I want to be righteous. And I want to live righteously. And so you're going to have to stop and honestly look at what the light reveals about you. And I have to stop and look at what the light reveals about me and where I'm walking. And is there some sin that I've been trying to hide? Are there some habits that I've just neglected addressing because they're just attached to me? And I'm addicted to them. And if you realize that even though you've been claiming to follow Jesus, you're actually walking, at least in some parts of your life, in the darkness. To that degree, you don't have fellowship with God, and you can't have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. And that means, in John's words, that you're living a lie. And you know it in your heart. Jesus is inviting you to come into the light and receive the blessings of true fellowship with your brothers and with your sisters and with him. While we stand and sing, would you come?
Down at the cross where my Savior died.